We're back on Know Your States, Know Your Community, and now we're talking about the Gem State. If you're listening to this radio program, you're probably listening to it in this state, but maybe not. Who knows? We are talking about the 38th most populous state, with a population of just north of 2 million people. The 43rd state in the Union, admitted on July 3rd of 1890, the state of Idaho. And we're talking now to a native Idahoan named Doug Jones. Hi, Doug.
Hey, or howdy, Jack.
is that the traditional Idaho greeting? Howdy.
Hitty.
Yeah. It's good to see you. Glad you could join us here.
Thanks.
To talk about Idaho. And this is going to be a bit of an unusual conversation, I suppose, because this is the only one where most of us are going to be familiar with it. So let's start by talking about you. You grew up where? Where are you from originally?
Well, I was born in the southern part of the state at Twin Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, one was from Idaho, one was from New York. And they were dairy farmers down in that region. And my dad was a wannabe farmer in Murtaugh, Idaho, which is very close to the Snake River Canyon drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
So, born and reared, my mom was an English teacher, so I got to be proper here. For my first 11 years in southern Idaho, Twin Falls and Rupert, which is in the Snake River Plain growing region, heavy sugar beet potato land, and a lot of lava rock and sagebrush and
no potatoes.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah, I did. And a lot of rattlesnakes too, which I never experienced directly, but was always fearful of.
You spent 11 years there and then moved to?
My dad worked for the state Department of Employment, and he took a position to manage the offices in Sandpoint and Bonner's Ferry in 1967. Fifth grade.
I'm going to pretend that I don't know anything about Idaho. Or all I know about Idaho is the license plate that says Famous Potatoes. Do you ever, when you run across people who aren't from Idaho, what's the first thing they bring up? And is it always potatoes?
They do mention that. And then our unfortunate current situation of white supremacists and how they won't come here. But I do my best to manage that fear and make them understand that true Idahoans are caring, good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're open.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I say?
Yeah. It's always interesting, I find, when people find out that I live in Idaho. The potatoes is the first thing that anyone mentions. I guess they are famous.
They also think Idaho is in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Confused with Iowa.
Yeah.
No, we border five states and Canada.
Let's see. You grew up, so first 11 years in Twin Falls, up here after that. And are those the main parts of Idaho that you've spent your time in?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly have traveled throughout the state. In high school, I was a Boys State representative from Sandpoint, and we took a bus ride in the middle of the night down the goat trail they used to call Highway 95.
Mm-hmm.
Much improved now, but an 11-hour trip on the old highway. Still have relatives in Boise and Twin Falls area, but friends throughout southern Idaho, and a very fond memory from childhood of what all of Idaho is all about. But specifically, we are a mountainous state with some broad valleys, with a very rich geological history. Well, where we live is in the Kinnexu Batholith, which is a granitic formation formed way underground 60 to 100 million years ago. And that's how we have sand in Lake Pend'Oreille on the north end, in that it breaks down into a beautiful sand and gets washed down through the ages. But such an amazing state for geological formations, from the City of Rocks in the south to the craters of the moon.
Is moonscape. That a Is that a national park?
Craters of the Moon. It is a
state. Yes.
But it's not a
national park. Here's what.
It's not a national park.
We can
Idaho
use the
has
internet.
No national parks, but it is a. Mm-hmm. Certainly a state and federal reserve, maybe.
Yeah.
And well worth visiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. If you're into volcanism. And that has always been a fascination of mine from early on. Volcanism, the Snake River Plain that was formed by the hot spot that is now under Yellowstone Park that has thousands of feet deep lava flows in southern Idaho.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And then the formations like Lake Bonneville that flooded that area, left rich topsoils, and then burst forth and flooded down into where the Great Salt Lake is currently, into a basin that contained it. Mm-hmm. And then in the north, we got the total opposite of the desert cactus sagebrush with rich forests, lots of waterways, and a history of formation, most recently by glaciation and the epic glacial floods that spilled out from the end of our Lake Pend'Oreille and flowed clear to the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question for you, Doug. Do you think anybody was around to see those floods?
They say there possibly could have been.
That's recent discoveries indicate that maybe there might have been people here.
Right? I believe from, Bonneville flood was 15,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. There certainly were beginnings of Indian tribes then. Mm-hmm. Some of the lava flows in southern Idaho were as recent as 2,000 years ago. And from what I have heard, glaciation still within 1,500 years, possibly. Mm-hmm. Could be wrong on that. But certainly most recent glacial lakes and floods.
Yeah. So when you were driving down, or when you were driving down to Boise on the goat path called 95, this was about what time?
Oh, in the 50s, 60s, well into the 70s, they began improvements. Lewiston Hill lost all of its curves in the late 70s, early 80s. The Whitebird Hill, which was 14 switchbacks to get you down to Salmon River level, probably in the mid 80s, and then other bottlenecks throughout the late 1990s. Mm-hmm. So just recently has it become that you can get to southern Idaho a whole nother time zone away in about 8 to 9 hours.
Yeah. Would you, you've spent most of your life here.
Yeah, from the age of 11. So I'm about to turn 70. Mm-hmm. So, but definitely strong memories of early Idaho, southern Idaho.
Right.
And the mountains, the Sawtooths, and the South Mountains, we call them. And then, of course, Idaho and Pend'Oreille and the Clark Fork and Pend'Oreille rivers.
You're a skier, aren't you?
Yes, I learned when I was in fifth grade at Schweitzer Mountain Resort.
Okay, and how many years have you had a season pass at Schweitzer?
That's kind of hard to say. I've been skiing for 58 years up there. I would say at least the last 30 that okay. I've invested in that. Some of that was getting a season pass for being a ski host on the slopes or working in the alpine shop. It was all about figuring out how to afford skiing, and way back then it was affordable.
Well, talk about way back then. I imagine the mountain has changed. Can you talk about some of the differences that you have experienced from when you first started going up Schweitzer to present day?
Well, they, for one, paved the road, and it had to be rebuilt after a washout, major washout in 1990,
So it was a dirt road going up there?
Yeah, it was an old logging road.
Whoa.
So a lot of people would either not come or never come back because of that road. And then after the washout, it became a county road. So it has seen a lot of improvements, switchbacks removed, guardrails put in. But
what year would it have been paved? Can you take a ballpark guess?
I think that was... It was paved, I believe, somewhat pre-washout, but after that, it was totally paved and straightened in places. And the mountain itself has, of course, never changed. Originally, from what I understand, it was a burn area, and local ski club would go up there and hike up to ski down. A lot of big snags from the original trees that were there that survived the fire. And just over the course of what I've seen from childhood to now, tremendous amount of regrowth, even at that elevation and the effects of snows and hard winters, it has greened up considerably. And we now have glade skiing and off into the tulies. Originally, Schweitzer was just one basin divided by a ridge. And finally, after the original chair to the top installations throughout the 80s and 90s and purchases and losses of local control, there are now lifts to the top. There's a second basin, again, with a dividing ridge. And lots of opportunities, depending on the snow amounts, for exploring. I'm still exploring, finding places, and there are places I will not ski, like under the lift. I don't want anybody seeing and commenting.
The state has changed a good deal. Yeah, I mean, you've seen a lot of changes come to the state.
Yeah, without realizing it, but... the focus has always been Southern Idaho and Boise. Politically, it's gone from a Democratic to strong Republican. Pockets of blue throughout before things got weaponized. But still, it's certainly... housing and the spread in Southern Idaho of Boise clear to the Oregon line to the west is now all urbanized compared to the farming communities that I was aware of. Pocatello and the southeast have continued to grow, maybe not as popular with the move-in crowd because it is kind of acquired taste of sagebrush and hot, in the hundreds and in the days. Higher elevation in Southern Idaho, the valley floor in Southern Idaho is 2,000 feet higher than here. We're only at 2,069 feet. The highest peak in Idaho is 12,662. That's Mount Bora in the Lost River Range. But at the lowest peak, or the lowest level in Idaho, is 712 feet in Lewiston, which is actually now a seaport with the dam locks that can bring barges up as that far to take on the harvests of the Palouse grains shipping out to the world.
If you could live, if you had to move... You had to stay in Idaho, but you couldn't live here. Is there anywhere else you would you could see yourself living within the state?
Not really.
Yeah.
But it is nice down there for the fact that in the winter it can be sunny, quite a bit colder because of the elevation, but not as much snow, which I really crave. Sure, if I could afford it, I'd be in Haley or Ketchum, but there's a lot of tradeouts there with the fly-in wealth crowd and crowds. So, you know, if you can put up with the gloom of the Northwest in the winter and the mud seasons on either end, summers are fantastic.
You've mentioned Boise. You've mentioned the Panhandle. What about Pocatello?
Pocatello's southeast.
Right. And do we ever think of Pocatello when we think of Idaho? Or is it just sort of like hanging out there?
I do. Idaho Falls, Pocatello, Rexburg, that whole back of the Tetons, Driggs, Victor, Idaho area, rich in potato farming, gorgeous views, great, used to be great fishing when I was growing up. And kind of little known places, great for pheasant hunting. And
so you moved to Sandpoint, and you've talked about the mountain. What about the lake?
Well, the lake has its beginnings in the glacial age with glacial floods and impoundment from the washout from glacial floods. And it was a fixture in everyone's life in the summer, especially if you're in school and and you're fortunate to have friends with or family with a boat. Then the only concern was enough money for gas and finding calm water to water ski.
What's it like growing up? You know, we've been talking with other interviewees about their relationship with water wherever they're at. What's it like growing up on a big lake? I mean, did you just jump in and go swimming, or did your parents say, don't wander too off far offshore, or, you know what I mean?
Well, it was more like, who didn't do something with the boat that we could afford a marina slip, like you didn't put the cover back on, or why is this gas tank empty? Never... worry about that. I had swimming lessons as a child in southern Idaho in a pool, but we had a reservoir there, Lake Walcott, behind the dam that was user-friendly. And the, you know, sandy beach, swimming docks, the most coveted position in the summer was to be a lifeguard. So, you know, old lake cabins... friends had from the, you know, 40s going out to visit. Yeah, it was a very unhurried and not a coveted or what I want to say, that you're not, you don't have to be wealthy
in order to enjoy the
lake. To be on the lake and to be in a house on the lake.
So was most of your experience on the water growing up Sandpoint-centric, or when was your first trip like over to Hope, you know, which is a chunk?
Well, I remember it had to have been the spring of 68, my dad renting an outboard 16-foot boat and motoring us over to Contest Point and beyond that, to a lake cabin that was owned by the people we originally rented a house from here.
Mm-hmm.
So the Talcotts. And it was a summer cabin. It was just framing with clapboard siding, no interior finish or insulation. But definitely cookouts on the beach and swimming and water skiing and climbing the rocks. And
I would think, Doug, growing up on such a large lake, you know, I grew up in the Midwest where lakes were, you can almost throw a stone across.
Mm-hmm.
And that Lake Pend'Oreille would have been possibility, you know, huge. And there's the monarchs on the other side. Or like, have you ever taken the boat down, a boat down to Bayview? Or, you know, I mean.
Yes, yeah. I've taken my parents' dinky boat clear over to the Monarchs and camped, and I've also sailed down from Sandpoint to Bayview. A lot of time on the lake, but you know, the islands, I'm not going to say which one, made out of perfect flat skipping stones. Just lots of places to explore and appreciate, but respect. And have known a lot of folks who have either come in expecting something different or not paying attention and have met their demise. So it is to be respected. I remember a picture in the Ross Hall studio that Cap Davis took. No, excuse me, it was Ross Hall. Mm-hmm. Of a breaking surf and mountains in the background. And I always assumed it was coastal.
Mm-hmm.
It was a picture that was backlighted behind their sales counter. No, that's Lake Pend'Oreille, and those 3-foot, 4-foot breakers are on one of the islands, and it can be extremely rough, and you respect that, and you heed and survive.
Yeah. You mentioned, I mean, Idaho is one of those big states. I can't remember how, if what we rank, maybe 12th or something like that in terms of size.
I think it's 14th.
Yeah.
And I could bore you with some statistics.
Yeah, we are limited in time. Sure. I was just going to mention that we are, I mean, it's one of the states that doesn't fit neatly, I don't think, into, you mentioned the Pacific Northwest. I think of us as kind of where we sit right now. We're in the Pacific Northwest, or at least the inland Northwest. But down south, that's true west kind of country.
Yeah, and you know, it's agribusiness now, rangeland to somewhat. You know, the history of Idaho was initially to the north. The French Quebecois fur traders came down. There were prospectors in the mountains down south, gold and silver were discovered. They call it the gem state for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Star garnets, for one. And mostly a pathway through to the gold fields in Montana or British Columbia to the north. So it was kind of a flow-through situation until the railroads came through. And, you know, like right now, Idaho is 479 miles north to south.
Hmm.
And at its widest, it's 305 miles. And just a statistic here, in Idaho, rangeland, which is scrubland, vegetation, wetland, is 55% of our land mass. Forests are 32%. Cultivated crops are 11%. And only 2% of the land is developed.
Huh.
Which is kind of mind-blowing.
It is, yeah.
When you think about the forests.
Yeah.
And the mountains.
And that more than half of it is rangeland, which it doesn't seem, from where we sit, that doesn't seem right. But that's because it is such a different state as you get south. Yeah,
I just think of it as mountainous with broad valleys.
Yeah.
And, you know, the original inhabitants, American Indians now, tribes up north were Coeur d'Alene, Kootenai, Nez Perce, or Shoshone, Bannock. and to the South Shoshone and Paiute. You know, the original fur trappers intermingled, had rendezvous in the South especially. Even the Ponderays would travel clear down into the Dillon and north part of southeastern Idaho for buffalo hunts yearly. Mm-hmm. And there's some great research and writing on that about David Thompson and Finan McDonald originally. So respecting our native lands and heritage is an important part of the consciousness of being an Idahoan. Mm-hmm. And certainly when you're on top of a mountain or out in that lake, you can picture yourself without modern convenience and clothing and what a struggle that was.
Yeah. It's time for us to kind of wrap things up.
Okay.
Here. Let's see. So in a word, Idaho, we think potatoes, right? Is that what you come down to?
If you're from the southern part, but...
No, what do you... I guess anything in closing besides... besides what you said here?
Well, Idaho, by nature, is self-assured but quiet. And they watch all of these people come through or come in and, hey, we discovered this place. Well, no, not really. But so a respectful learning process, not trying to get something out of this place, but giving back to it is one of the best attitudes you can have.
Well, here we are, wrapping up another edition of Know Your States, Know Your Community. And thank you very much, Doug Jones, for doing an exceptional job of representing our state, Idaho.
Here we have.
Okay.